Hello, and welcome to my podcast, John Scott Lawton's English You Know. In return to my more traditional or usual format of guest speaker, who I interview during this podcast, I'd like to introduce you to Isabelle Cottenet, who is a French language first language speaker. Isabelle works with professionals who have moved into corporate positions, maybe, or senior management positions within companies, and where they are required to develop proficiency in French, particularly in order to give presentations, obviously involving speech, which will then require them to develop a proficient French accent. What's the connection to English, you might ask? Well, if I was to tell you that 30% of English words actually are of French origin, and that there are thousands of French words in current day-to-day use in English, you will see that not only is an appreciation of a different language, in this case French, important to develop when learning English, but also some of the issues we talk about here in terms of pronunciation apply to English as well as to French, although we importantly look at the differences between the two languages. I've made connections in the Spotify podcast description for you to make contact with Isabelle if you wish. She has a website and also she produces a blog. If you require any further information about English language learning, please get in touch with me either by email, johnscottlawton@hotmail.co.uk, or by following my LinkedIn page. Thank you very much indeed. Hello, Isabelle. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. I hope you're well. Can you say a little bit about yourself, where you are, what you do, and explain your work to me, please?
Hello, John. Thank you for having me on your podcast. So my name is Isabelle Cottenet. I'm a French pronunciation coach and trainer. I've also been a translator for over 20 years. I translate from English and German into French, and I speak a little Italian. I'm based in France, near in the south of Brittany, in Nantes. A long time ago, I studied translation, phonetics, and linguistics, and I also have an MBA from a French business school. Today, I help language professionals and professionals from various industries to master the music of the French language in order to communicate more clearly and with more confidence. I mostly teach online, and to do that, I use a combination of tools drawn from my background in languages, phonetics, music, and vocal technique to create an enjoyable, efficient, and supportive journey into French pronunciation for my clients.
Thank you. That's really interesting. The reason I'm really interested in French is because there are apparently a third of French words have influenced the English language in some way. So a third of English words actually either are French originally or they are derived from French. They come from French. So it's a major, major issue. And then later on, I will share with our audience some English words which we use in English, but they're actually clearly very French. So you will explain those to me, or you will check my pronunciation later. But what's this connection between music and language learning? We talked about this in our pre-interview. You see a very strong connection between music and language. What is that, and how does it affect language learning, particularly in English and French?
Okay, yes. Well, I've always paid attention to the way words sound, even in my work as a translator. And every time I have to deliver a translation, before I do that, I read the text aloud, checking for repetitions and for how sounds are combined, if they sound nice to the ear as well. This is important for creative translation and when translating scripts for voiceovers, for instance. The second link, well, not exactly the link, but the other area for which music is important is that I do a lot of music outside of my work. I play the piano and I sing in a band. And working on the pronunciation of the English lyrics of the songs that I would have to perform or that I have to sing was an important part of the work I had to do before going into a rehearsal. So this is how it all started. And I've always wanted to try to bridge the gap or find connections between music and languages. And I felt there were strong connections. And the way I realized that is that I started reading the works of a phonetics teacher and opera singing teacher who used singing as a teaching material for pronunciation teaching. And that was a big breakthrough moment for me because it confirmed what I already felt. When we sing, we have to sing on pitch, obviously. And the pitch is actually the height of the note at which we sing a particular note. And if you combine several notes, then you have a melody. And there's a melody in songs and also when you speak. So training your ear to really hear those pitches can really be helpful when you want to improve your pronunciation. Then in a song or in any piece of music, there's rhythm. And so paying attention to the rhythm of a song can also give us cues to how the rhythm of a specific language works. And it works very, very differently in English and in French.
Yes, I think that's one of the critical things that people have to learn. And people often say, I don't understand your accent, or I'm worried about my accent. And the issue is, it is accent, but accent is made up of so many things. And it's often, as you say, the rhythm, or we sometimes refer to it as the prosody of a language, prosody, you know, that shape, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, those rhythmic patterns. And getting those right for each language is really important for other people to understand us. Or if we accept that English is very much an international language, Jean Aitchison many years ago wrote about Englishes, plural. There are many Englishes around the world, and she was right, you know, that people use English and speak English in very different ways. It comes from a core language, but it is such a global language that it's been influenced and changed by the rhythms and patterns and prosody of first languages or first language speakers who then speak English as a foreign or second language. So clearly their language, it doesn't interfere, but it influences the way they speak English. And that's something that I talk about and I give examples and try to explain to students so they can see why they might have difficulty understanding different people from different countries. But actually, it's part of the richness of English, as with French, that it's spoken because of colonialism, unfortunately. It's spoken in many countries around the world. And English, of course, as with French, is such an important global language in terms of trade, business, IT, finance, banking, all of those, you know, critical industries for the economy, global economy, use English as their, here we go, French word, lingua franca, you know, for their common language. Can I ask a question now about, do you think that it's right that not enough attention is paid to speaking and listening when learning a new language or learning how to pronounce the language correctly? Do you think enough attention is given to good pronunciation?
I guess you know what my answer is going to be. no, I don't think enough attention is paid to speaking and listening skills, and particularly in France. Although this might be changing a little bit with, you know, the online platforms like Netflix, which give us more opportunities to listen to English in all its diversity. But France has a tradition of being a grammar language. So a lot of emphasis is put on teaching grammar, so English grammar, which is important, of course. But once you start working in a company and you need to express yourself in English, grammar might not be the most important aspect of the communication process. So in France, yes, grammar is really the strong point. Vocabulary, so learning new vocabulary. And in schools, when English is taught, when you have 30 students in a classroom, it's very difficult for teachers to really do focused work on pronunciation. And even when the teacher corrects the pronunciation of a student who dares raise his or her arm to ask to speak, the correction would only focus on the sounds of isolated words and not necessarily on the whole sentence, which would give cues regarding the prosody, like as you were mentioning before. So this is one aspect. And there are other aspects related to pronunciation teaching that we might talk about later on, which are related to the muscle memory and the muscles, what they do in each language.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very complex. And I'm not sure about French. You can tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but English is what we call a stress-based language. So where you put the stress is really important. I'll give an example. My next question to you is going to be, what are the particular difficulties in acquiring a good French accent? Now, I could say that in several ways. What are the particular difficulties in acquiring a good French accent? There I'm clearly focusing on, be very specific, give me the actual problems that people face. What are the particular difficulties in acquiring a good French accent? There I'm asking you to focus on the difficulties, the problems people have. What are the particular difficulties in acquiring a good French accent? There I'm making it clear I'm talking about French, not English. What are the particular difficulties in acquiring a good French accent? There I want to speak a good French accent. I always tell a funny story about when I went to Euro Disney with my family and a friend who actually lived in Paris. But he said, you've got better French than me. Go and buy the tickets. I think he just wanted me to pay. Anyway, I went to the kiosk at Euro Disney and spoke in my finest English French, or my French in an English accent, I thought. Avez-vous une carte, s'il vous plaît? I asked her for a map after I got the tickets. I gave it to my friend and he promptly laughed. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, have you seen this map? I said, no. He said, it's in German. She obviously thinks you're German. So whether I look German or not, I certainly sounded German when I bought these tickets and the map. So where we put the stress, where we put the emphasis, very important in English, is it as important in French?
No. It's very different. And you were saying that English is a stress-based language. French is a time-based language. We also call it in French isosyllabic. So each syllable has more or less the same duration. So it's true that for English speakers, the things they will focus the most when listening to someone speaking English is where the stress is placed, as you were explaining, to get to the meaning, to understand what the person means. In France, in French, we have a stress, but it's very, very different. It's a stress which does not belong to the word. So in English, there's the tonic, which is placed on the first, the second, or the third syllable of a word, and it will always be placed on that syllable. And it's a stress which is an increase in the volume at which the syllable is pronounced, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay. In French, the stress is not an increase in the volume, it's a lengthening of the duration of a syllable. And that syllable is the last syllable of the word or the last syllable of the word which is the last word in a thought group or which
Okay.
is the last word of a sentence. I hope I'm clear. If I may give a short example, in English, and you can correct my pronunciation, if I say, I like chocolate. Okay, so I like chocolate. To me, I hear a stress on the first syllable of chocolate. I like chocolate, and that's it. In French, if I were to say the same thing, I would say, J'aime le chocolat. So the two words, chocolate and chocolat, sound similar, except in French, okay, we have a silent T. It is spelt with a T in the end, but it's not pronounced. But what I'm saying is, J'aime le chocolat. Do you hear a stress in that sentence?
Sure, just a little bit. J'aime le. It's sort of rhythmic, it's barely noticeable.
Barely noticeable, that's it. But what happens is, j'aime le chocolat. I really have to make sure that the last syllable is really clear. It's an a, and not a chocolat. So this is to illustrate in a short sentence. Now, if I make this sentence a little bit longer and I say, I like black chocolate. Okay, so I want to focus in English that it's black chocolate and not milk chocolate. And in French, okay, in French, the adjective and the noun are inverted, but
J'aime le chocolat
here,
noir.
yes, j'aime le chocolat noir. So now the lengthening of the last syllable of chocolat is no longer there. It's j'aime le chocolat noir. It's noir, which has to be very clear. And so on, if you add words to the sentence.
That's very helpful. It explains why at school we had a lot of difficulty as young boys. It was because I went to a boys' school, unfortunately. We had terrible difficulty when we did what was called French dictation. The French teacher, and she was French, would speak in French, and we had to write down what she said. And we always had problems with the endings of words. So it was never clearly pointed out to us that that's where we need actually to focus our attention more clearly, more carefully, not just the silent letters you've spoken about, but this lengthening of the sound, which means that is it going to be E, E acute, E grave, a T, nothing, something there that we need to pay attention to. Can we just read this word in the middle of this sentence, attention? In English, it would be attention. You can hear the stress towards the beginning of the word. Attention in French. How would you place that within a, how would you read that whole sentence if you were speaking something like, do you think it's right that not enough attention is paid to speaking and listening skills when learning a new language generally? How would you, because in English, that word attention is key. Not enough attention is
Yeah.
paid. So how would it be read in
Okay.
French?
If I were to translate the whole sentence in French and say it in French, pensez-vous que l'on prête suffisamment d'attention au développement des compétences d'écoute et de prononciation lorsque l'on apprend une nouvelle langue? Pensez-vous que l'on prête suffisamment d'attention? Bla 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 bla. But I haven't phrased it like in English. I didn't say not enough. I said, do you think we pay enough attention?
Yes.
But anyway, I didn't put any major stress I think, on the word attention as you have done in English.
No, just on that very final word. And as you say, interestingly, not just the final word of a sentence, but the final word of a thought phrase, which does exist in English. When I always make a big fuss about commas and semicolons in English as punctuation, but actually clauses and thought phrases, a very nice phrase to use, the concepts that you're trying to get across, particularly in speech, because in speech we're not thinking about punctuation, but we are thinking about pauses. And you can really help a listener by breaking your thought patterns up into these sections. And if that's done in French with this emphasis and lengthening of sound, that for me would be a really important key in understanding French speakers, because I would know every time they lengthen a sound or lengthen a, not just a consonant or a vowel, but when they lengthen a word, I know that that's the end of a thought phrase. That would really help me understand what people are saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And this makes me think of something. I listened to a podcast the other day that was really interesting. It's a podcast from the French National Radio, so Radio France. And it was on France Culture, if some of your listeners listen to French podcasts. And it was a podcast about how babies learn a language. And the examples were given on how babies would isolate these thought phrases and isolate the contours, the layout, the sounds. If it was logical for a certain sound to be close to another or not, and if not, then the baby would understand that this was a particular thought phrase, another one, and then building on that that understanding, they would pick up other cues directly linked to prosody and not to the meaning of sound. But really, prosody plays a major role in language acquisition with babies.
Yes, and young children, which is why we use nursery rhymes, because what you're giving there are two major things. One, the concept of story, which is absolutely important, that stories have beginnings, middles, and endings, as do sentences. But more important, as you say, the prosody, the rhythm, the pattern, the flow of a language, so that's how meaning is conveyed and how we communicate. Drumming is a classic example of that. You know, drumming is a fundamental rhythmic pattern that conveys meaning. It's so fundamental. I think we've answered the question about, do we pay enough attention to listening and speaking skills? And we both agree, perhaps not. Another final point I'll make about that, because I visit this quite often in the podcast, is that with writing and even translation, we've now got ChatGPT, we've got any number of translation software tools. Writing is becoming easier. In some respects, speaking and listening is becoming more important because it demands more of the speaker, more of the learner to be proficient. There are tools that can help you, but they're not as proficient yet. They will get there, but they're not as proficient as the writing tools which have been developed. So that's something I think will not take away the need for English language teachers or French language teachers. There will always be the need for human intervention because we are humans trying to communicate with humans and machine. But speech, I think, and listening skills require or will require development and enhancement throughout our lives. So that's something I'm hopeful that I will still have a job in 10 years' time. My next question. What are the particular difficulties in acquiring, and this is my sentence again, a good, and I mean a good, French accent?
Okay, so I think there are several aspects to talk about here. The first one I like to talk about is the relationship, the learner has with the language plays a major role in how he or she will approach his learning journey. So if you have to learn a language because you have to learn a language, or if you choose to learn a language because you enjoy the sounds of it, or because you love the literature, the cinema, the culture, whatever, that builds that specific emotional connection with the language. And this will impact the way you will learn the language. Second aspect, which second difficulty that my clients tell me about, is that they feel that the sounds are very intertwined in French. So this makes for this very flowy sound and making it difficult to cut, to isolate the words.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay. Then the third difficulty, and I think it is somewhat linked to the previous point, is that the bandwidth of frequencies used when speaking English or French is quite different. It's wider when speaking English and narrower when speaking French. So this can also explain why it's difficult to hear certain sounds.
Because they have to be very precise.
Absolutely. And they are in a narrower bandwidth, so with less tonics, less stress, that can give cues.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth difficulty in acquiring a good French accent is that there are sounds. We have sounds that do not exist in English, and you have sounds that do not exist in French. So since you can only pronounce correctly the things that you hear correctly, you have to start by training your listening skills to recognize these sounds and then to pronounce them correctly. So I'm thinking of the U sound, which exists in French and not in English. It exists in German, but not in English. Our R is very different, and this is due to different movements that the tongue does. We have nasal vowels, so en, un, un, and French Canadian speakers have one more. and we have no diphthongs. So this is difficult for French people speaking English because they tend to shorten the vowels. But the other way around, English speakers tend to use vowels that are too long in French, and this disrupts the rhythm.
Yes.
Fifth aspect, you mentioned it before, is the difference between the spelling and the sounds. So if I take one example, the nasal vowel un can be spelled 14 different ways. 14.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much.
And the last thing, but we talked about it, is the rhythm. The rhythm is one of the major difficulties.
Mm-hmm. So this really answers why English first language speakers often have difficulty acquiring and developing an acceptable French accent. It's a bit of a generalization, and I don't want to be prejudicial here, but is it really irritating for French speakers to listen to English people speak French? Is it annoying? Because we think the way French people speak English is not cute, but it's attractive. It's not, you know, it's not difficult. We understand it. Okay, the stress may be a little bit uneven, but the way people speak is acceptable and often very understandable. Not always, if you think of some of the actors, Peter Sellers, for example, with Inspector Clouseau, you know, where he was all over the place. But generally, French people speaking English, it's seen as very, very attractive. Is that so the other way around? I rather think it isn't, is it?
Oh, that's Well, I find all accents charming and I would never criticize an accent. I think the way the French react is because we have a very we are more negative, we are more critical of things, and this may come from the school system, the teaching system, which emphasizes what is not correct instead of putting the emphasis on the good stuff. So that may be one explanation. But I think, generally speaking, when people from other countries make the effort to speak French, this should be acknowledged and encouraged. So I would never say that it's annoying that the accent that English speakers have when they speak French is annoying. No, I don't think so.
Okay, coming back to that negativity is one of the reasons why my spoken Slovak is so poor, because my teacher at the time was very, very critical of my accent at a word level. So I could barely get a word out without it being corrected. There was this again, and it does come back to the school system, the pedagogy, the way in which people are taught and criticized, and it really damaged my confidence. It made it so that although I had limited opportunity to speak Slovak anyway, I really almost didn't want to because I thought my accent was so bad that people wouldn't understand me. But actually, other people have said it's okay, you can improve it, of course. But I felt at first I was unintelligible, that people couldn't understand me, and it really stopped me even wanting to try. So,
Oh.
confidence building for learners, for me, is absolutely critical. I will let people speak, and yes, there will be errors, and I will correct them at a certain point, but I don't want to overcorrect them because I think the damage, the intellectual, emotional damage done there, is quite profound. I think it's quite hard. So it's a delicate balance between accuracy and fluency. It's talked about amongst language teachers in of all languages. There does need to be intervention when something isn't clear, of course. But if you do it at the word level, so every single word is corrected, then confidence goes, is my point. Anyway.
I agree. I totally agree.
Carrying on there, really, about pronunciation, are there things that I'll say learners, but your clientele, your customers, the students, the people you work with are very often people who have either relocated from other countries into France and they have to use French now in their business, often within corporate, in big companies or smaller companies, and they will get some tuition. Some teaching, but what can they do for themselves to improve their pronunciation? Are there techniques and methods that people can use, and tools which would help them, as well as having a coach like you?
Yes, I think before getting into any technique or method, I think it's important to make the learners aware that their difficulties come from the things that we've talked about earlier on and about what happens in the mouth when they speak. So to maybe start by explaining, okay, your jaw, your tongue, your lips do not do the same thing in your native language and in French. So we'll talk about this first. And what I like to explain is the tongue. The tongue is an organ of major importance when speaking. So in English, the base position of the tongue is rather towards the roof palate, whereas in French, it's at the bottom. It lies at the bottom. So first difference. And explaining those differences also helps learners build their confidence because they understand it's not their fault. It's just because their language functions in a particular way, in a different way. So tongue, the lips, and this is something that I focus a lot in our pronunciation training. The lips in English are in a more neutral position. Okay, this is very convenient when you sing because you have to avoid making too large movements with your lips. But so in English, they're more neutral. And in French, we have central vowels that are difficult for English speakers. So, E, E, O. So the lips are more rounded and pushed forward than for similar sounds in English, like the O, A in English, the open A is more relaxed. And more relaxed is the general word for the English, the position of the speaking muscles in English. So the jaw and the cheeks are also more relaxed in English than in French. Mm-hmm. We have tenser vowels, so we need tenser jaw and cheeks.
Interesting.
Another thing is the resonance. Resonance is something that we often talk about in vocal technique. So when you learn how to sing, so you have to place the sound in a specific place in your mouth to make them sound in a particular way. So, but in speech, the resonance of the English language is more at the back of the mouth. And in American English, it's even more in the nose. And in French, the sounds, the resonance is more towards the front. And one last aspect regarding all these speech muscles is the soft palate. Mm-hmm. So the soft palate is really on the roof palate at the back of the mouth. And in French, we have nasal vowels. And in order to produce the sounds of the nasal vowels, un, on, un, we need to lower the soft palate in order for the air to come out through the mouth and through the nose. So this is just for the general explanation of how we speak French. But then regarding technique that we can use, I would say understanding the way the organs function, understanding the differences between the phonetic systems of your native language and the language you learn. So identify the new sounds, the rhythm patterns. Okay. Develop your muscle memory. So what I do with my clients, I'll tell them in the morning when you're in the bathroom, do the smiling gym. So really alternate between spread lips and rounded lips. So this trains your muscles to function and gets them ready for the sounds that are placed like U, 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 okay? So developing muscle memory and also training listening skills. So a very efficient way, and I think you use it as well, is using minimal pairs. So minimal pairs are short words that differ by one sound. So they're useful to train your listening skills to identify if the sounds in both words are the same or not, and then to repeat. So making lists or finding recordings of minimal pairs and repeating them can be very useful. I had a client who recorded those on his phone and would use them practice while riding his bike to work. Mm-hmm. So this works. What I tell my students also is to focus on one sound at a time. Do not attempt to get everything right the first time. So if you find the French U challenging, so imagine pick up a video, a podcast, or listen to the news for 5 minutes in the morning, just focusing on that one sound, write the words down, and then practice them. Mm-hmm. So this allows you to practice in your day-to-day life quite easily. And deliberate practice is way more efficient than just trying to get everything right at the same time.
Yes, I think that's very good advice. And I do use minimal pairs. It's old-fashioned in some people's view, but actually I think it works. And definitely this idea that not trying to do too much at once, I think that's good advice. Thinking of me and learning Slovak, but also learners wanting to move from a sort of beginner, lower intermediate level, how do they maintain their motivation with pronunciation in particular when they want to develop? Is there something that can help them? Because what my learners often face is the difficulty they don't have many people to speak to in English. And I always say, search them out, you know, try and find a language group where you can join with other people to use the language. Problem was, I used to have virtual dinner parties. And they were very good because they were online and people had to speak English in those online events. I tried to have a real dinner party once, and unfortunately, all my Slovak guests chose to speak Slovak. I said, well, you've got two English language speakers here. Good opportunity to use English. But because it was a social setting, people just chose to speak Slovak. So there was a 2 to 3 hour wasted opportunity there. What can people do to improve their spoken French?
I would say, yes, it's good to be active when in your learning journey, because people often tend to think, okay, I watch series, I listen to podcasts. That's all good, very useful. But then you need to be active and practice actively. So I think today there are more opportunities to find people who are ready to do language exchange, like we speak half an hour in my language, and that's what I do with some people that I've met on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Because my English was very rusty, I hadn't spoken in 20 years, just translating and not speaking. And when I decided to reconnect with English, I searched, or I found, because it was not deliberate, people who seem to have similar interests on LinkedIn. And well, there's a big translator community on LinkedIn, and we support each other. And that's how it started. And having this weekly meeting with a person with whom you have shared interests is really a powerful motivator to get back into the language. I would say, yes, seek the help of a teacher, coach, trainer, because this person will help you stay on track. They will diversify the learning materials to adapt to your preferences, and they'll be able to help you identify what works for you. Maybe organize group courses so that you can practice speaking with other learners of the language. And having someone that you meet, be it a teacher or a practice partner, makes you accountable. So you have this meeting, it's in your calendar, and you know that for this hour, for 1 hour, you're going to have to speak the language. Mm-hmm. I think the human connection is the most powerful motivator in language learning, and I think so.
And I think finding an interest group, you found a translators group, so maybe you would talk about work, but it soon develops into talking about other things as well. So if you're interested in football, find a football community who want to speak about either English football or football in English. Or if you're an arts fan, you know, get involved in some arts company or arts project where that language in English is going to be exposed and you can use it in a group.
I was thinking, I had a student who works in an English, well, who works in France. She lives in France, but she works in a global company. So the working language is English. So she was complaining that she didn't have that many opportunities to speak French because everybody would communicate in English. And I said, and I asked her what she liked to do. And she said, I like hiking. I like walking. And I said, isn't there a hiking group, a walking, hiking group in the company? Because it was a huge company. And she said, oh, yes, I've heard of it. And I said, that's an excellent way to mingle with other people and explain to them, okay, I need to practice my French. And you can do that walking, by walking. So that's another idea.
Yep. And that helps with the motivation. You know, it brings you back to that motivation stance. Isabel, that's been fascinating, very helpful. I already want to do another podcast with you, which is an exercise I was going to do here, showing the French words that exist in English in their full form, but also the derivation, where the etymology, where some English words come from, and they're clearly French. And there's a very good article from Berlitz, which I will share as part of this podcast, that shows that. But I think if we could do a shorter podcast next time, which is just me trying to pronounce these words correctly in French, and you correcting me, because you will need to correct me, would be a very useful exercise to illustrate many of the points we've spoken about today.
Sounds great. With pleasure.
I'd like to thank you there, Isabel. And can I finally ask you, how can people get in touch with you and how can they find out more about your work?
Oh, they can find me on LinkedIn. Because that's the platform where I'm the most active. I also have a website and a blog, which is called secureyourpronunciation.com. So the English spelling. And I write on my blog, people can find articles, but also audio recordings and carousels focusing on various aspects of French pronunciation and sometimes at the crossroads with music and singing.
That's excellent. So I've got some of those links. I'll make them available to my listeners via the Spotify. It goes on Spotify, but it's also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Other podcast platforms are available. But in the Spotify description, at least, I will put all of those links and details and people can follow those through.
Great.
Isabel, thank you very much indeed for your time. Merci bien. Merci beaucoup. And I hope to see you again. I will return. Je reviens.
Thank you very much, John. It's been really a good talk. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.